Hello and welcome to Walk the Pod, your daily walking show where I take my podcast for a walk because I don't have a dog. And you step away from your desk at lunchtime for just 10 minutes to walk in nature. It's such a radical idea. It doesn't happen very much in the modern UK office, but it might just change your working life. It might just change your actual life. This is series 41 in which we're discussing burnout, and this is the second week of episodes. There'll be one every day this week. Daily walking on the subject of burnout, pondering this rather tricky to pin down topic. What is it? How can we avoid it? And could walking possibly help? Today, I'm going to be talking about behavioural symptoms of burnout. Welcome to Walk the Pod.
Hey Rach, hey Poddies. My views on burnout. I was I was one of the people that voted for burnout as a topic. So probably a good idea to share why. I've experienced burnout twice, and I would 100% attribute it for me to work. It was at a time when both work and home were quite volatile, but it was the work side that pushed it right over the edge for me. And I have to say, it was one of the most debilitating experiences that I've had, really on both occasions, because when it happened again a couple of years after feeling like I'd recovered from the first one, it was a real setback, because it was then, well, did I learn nothing? And then back into sort of cycles of blaming myself and things like that. But my symptoms and my behaviour at the time were, from what I've learned since, quite classic, in that I was feeling incompetent, unable to do the simplest of tasks without second guessing myself, managing to really sort of spiral into a real place of doom and panic if I had identified that I'd done something wrong, even the smallest of things, which then led to, you know, really panicked, intrusive thoughts of, I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to have to surrender my cats. It was, you know, it got really, really panicked, really quite exaggerated. And when you're well, you can see that that is completely over the top, and just there's no rationale to it at all, whereas when you're in the middle of it, it just feels everything is quite straightforward and logical, and you're the reason it's all going wrong. And if you just work a bit harder, if you do a few more hours, then no one else will find out how bad you are. And then the other thing of it is this, the fear and shame that creeps in with it, where you don't feel you can say to your boss, I'm struggling with this, I need some help, because if you do that, you're admitting that you can't deal with it, and you're the failure, and you're the problem, and that will then lead to you losing your job, losing your house, and surrendering your cats. So it's a very, very difficult position to be in. But the one piece of advice I would give to anyone is bite the bullet, ask for help, speak to friends first, and then seek the professional help. And I started my professional help through the NHS, but was lucky to be able to access some private healthcare through work. So yeah, sorry, this has been a bit long, hugely personal, but I really don't mind sharing. But yeah, I would definitely say never underestimate the impact of burnout, because it takes a really long time to recover from and get your sort of core mental stability back on track. Yes, okay, well, on a happier note, it's the most beautiful day in the world, at least at the moment, so I hope the rest of Walk the Pod is a bit sunnier. Okay, bye!
Thank you, Sam. I really appreciate that story, particularly the details you gave around how it felt to be in burnout, and that illustrates really well how quickly those feelings can spiral out of control. And it also highlights the fact that because shame is involved, one can have sort of shame about the inability to do the tasks in the first place, further shame for being unable to resolve that stress ourselves, and even further shame for the spiraling thoughts that result from all of that. And this is one of the things that we can all benefit from tackling head on, I think, the feelings of shame at work, outside of work, everywhere. Brené Brown has done an enormous amount of great work into the emotion of shame, and the more I find out about it, the more powerful I understand it to be. So thank you. I wanted to talk about behavioural symptoms of burnout today, because we talked a bit about physical symptoms of burnout and we talked a bit about emotional symptoms of burnout. What might we catch ourselves doing and realise that actually this might be a symptom of burnout, not just something we're doing that is completely rational? I mean, whatever you're doing is completely rational, but what I mean is we might think that it's perfectly okay just to stay in bed an hour and a half beyond the time at which we're supposed to start work, and that is just us having a lovely morning. But actually, it might be a sign of burnout in the workplace. So let's just have a look at my list here, which comes from betterhelp.org. I'm very grateful to them for putting these lists together, because they're very useful. So behavioural signs and symptoms of burnout. Withdrawing from responsibilities is the first one. If we hate the idea of having to actually do a particular part of our job, then that could be a sign of burnout. I also think it could be a sign of not being trained for something properly. There are some things that I've experienced in my career where I was really dreading a certain thing happening, and actually it was to do with not being trained enough for it rather than being burnt out. So it could be either of those two things. Second one, isolating from others. So not wanting to be around other people could be a sign of burnout. Don't know whether you've thought about it like that. Procrastinating, taking longer to get things done. And Sam spoke a bit on that subject when she mentioned second guessing herself. So it might take a lot longer to do a really basic task if we are not confident that we can do it correctly, even when it's actually something quite minor. Using food, drugs or alcohol to cope. Our addictions can spike when we are burnt out, because they're a way to distract ourselves from what we're struggling to do at work. Taking frustrations out on others. I just read a brilliant newsletter by Heather Havrileski, who I have recommended to you in the past, I think, about how lashing out can be a sign of shame. We're back to shame again, because lashing out is something that we do when we feel like we actually don't deserve our needs to be met in the first place. And so we've spent ages pretending we don't have any needs. Actually, we don't have a need in this particular area. We don't deserve any better than what we've got, and that's fine, and there's nothing wrong. And then lashing out at other people when that all just becomes too much to bear, because actually we do have needs and we do have things that we need in a particular area, and they're not being met, and no amount of pretending that they're not important makes them unimportant, because they are important. So if you're lashing out at friends or colleagues or your manager or your manager's manager or your bus driver or your kids even, consider whether you might actually be rather burnt out in a particular area of your life. And finally, skipping work or coming in late and leaving early. That is potentially a sign of burnout, or a sign of things being a bit too much for us. So I hope that's been helpful. That's my last list of the series. We're going to move on now. Tomorrow, I think we might talk a bit about the difference between stress and burnout, because they're not quite the same. And then we might move on for the last three episodes of the series to talk about how we can avoid getting burnt out in the first place. It's not too late to contribute your thoughts on the topic. If you've got something to say about burnout and you think you can express it in 59 seconds, go to walkthepod.com, press the button marked leave a voice note. If you'd prefer to type, you can email rach@rachelwheely.com. And if you're in the Walk the Pod Walk Club, you can get my number for the opportunity to leave a longer voice note via WhatsApp. What can I see directly in front of me? Well, it is the most beautiful day in the world, as Sam mentioned earlier. It's rather lovely. Blue sky, white clouds. The sun is not beaming down on the park behind the hospital that I'm walking round, but it is certainly there if I walk round into this sunbeam that I can see ahead of me at the moment. Lots of leaves all over the floor. A dog walker in the park, talking very animatedly to her little brown pup chargers, who are charging around all over the place. Quite a lot of mud and sticks and a bit of a chill and a bit of a breeze. I'm sure there's quite a lot of wind noise on this episode, for which apologies, but this is Walk the Pod. It wouldn't be Walk the Pod if I recorded it all in a studio in the calm surrounds of rock wool covered walls. It's got to be recorded in the outdoors, so wind noise comes along with that, I think. Thank you for walking with me, dear friends. It's been a delight to stretch my legs with you this lunchtime. I have been a little bit chilly, but warmed by your presence just on my left shoulder, just sitting with me as I walk around the park. So grateful to you for coming with me, as always. Thank you for listening. Take care of your beautiful mind. Send me any thoughts you have about burnout. We've got a few more episodes in which to discuss them. And try to enjoy this imperfect day. Lots of love, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.